Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idol gods are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I believe, says the Christian church, and we testify of it today, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, which all can be summarized, he descended into hell. The third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic, that is, worldwide Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A fitting song following the sermon is Psalter 431, stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Dear Daniel and Rachel, and beloved congregation belonging to Christ, this special service with the Christian baptism of Logan Hans Zylstra, I invite you to go through Psalm 115 with me. This psalm gives a testimony of the godly in Old Testament Israel, and how good it is, how right, when what it teaches we also seek to promote and highlight in our homes and with our children today. Indeed, this is so very important. Going through this psalm, notice with me what is a godly Christian upbringing all about. What is it that also Logan Hans Zylstra now will hopefully have clearly taught to him and modeled before him? Reflecting Psalm 115 in our covenant homes. That's the theme for this sermon. Someday later, perhaps, hopefully, you will tell Logan about his baptism. And then you can tell also about this psalm preached through in the service he was baptized. The psalm begins by stating in verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. What is that saying? Life is to be lived for God's glory. For this we were created. And this is the real purpose of life for us, that God may be praised and exalted. What is the chief end of man? Asked the Westminster Shorter Catechism in its opening question, with this answer given based on God's word. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is what you and I need to be promoting in our homes with our children. Our lives are to be for God's glory in every part and in all things, always. When the psalmist says, Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but to your name give glory. He brings out, doesn't he, what is so often our problem in our lives. We seek to live for our own glory. We want praise and honor for ourselves in life, somehow, some way. But that is not God's way. And the true child of God realizes this and is aware of the natural sinful bent of our lives. And he prays thus here fervently, not unto us, two times, not unto us, but unto God alone be glory. God's name is mentioned and it refers to his being, to his person and all his works. Special mention is made of God's mercy or loving kindness and his truthfulness or faithfulness. Can we ever glorify God enough for these key characteristics of God? Are you and I not objects of his covenant graciousness and faithfulness? Has not the Lord dealt bountifully with you too as a couple? You are blessed now with three healthy children. And now also when Logan is born, he too may receive the personal sign and seal of God's gospel promises in Christ Jesus. The Lord blesses you with all kinds of blessings, materially and spiritually, and as a couple and family. What reasons to glorify him in all of life. The Israelites too experienced countless favors from God. So many undeserved mercies and blessings over their history. And the psalmist knew here there was endless reasons for him and the covenant people of old to live that God be praised and that all glory be to him. The holy conviction of verse 1. Is it the holy conviction in all our homes? Parents in church, is this what you bring across to your children and grandparents from day to day and week to week? Let's live our lives to God's glory. Life is about his honor and his praise and not ours. Is this the focus of your life and mine, dear congregation? Or has some of you maybe become sidetracked from this lately, even perhaps more than before, for whatever reason? Isn't it good to ask ourselves, what is this about in life? What am I doing in life? What's this for that I'm about? What's that for? What am I about with this and that in my family life? God's glory or not? We pray and trust, Daniel, Rachel, this holy conviction of Psalm 115, verse 1, is yours too, by God's grace. And that it will be what Logan and your children see clearly in their upbringing. Life is for God's glory. That's the only right and good way to live. But let's go on and notice verse 2. The psalmist asks, why should the Gentiles say, so where is your God? Here, notice with me, the sense of holy mission that the psalmist expresses here. The psalmist, you can say, is jealous for God's praise and honor. And he doesn't want the world to be able to say in mockery, where is your God? But that they clearly see and know God. Isn't this what should be our burden in our Christian covenant homes? Namely, that God be known and his greatness and graciousness and glory be made known to all. Yes, especially starting with our own children. Verse 2 is actually a prayer to God, asking him to intervene, that the true God not be unknown or scoffed, but that he be made known in all his glory and majesty. The psalmist testifies in verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. The psalmist knows, you see, the God of the Bible is the one true God. The God over all. And all the earth needs to come to know him. I read not too long ago about the Christian organization AMG, through which Word and Deed works in Guatemala, that they have as one of their stated goals, quote, that everyone on earth will have had at least one opportunity to hear and respond to a clear presentation of the gospel, end of quote. Is this what you and I reflect in our homes too? this sense of holy mission in life for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't there much reason to pray in our time too, when it seems the true God, the Bible, is dismissed by so many, that we pray in our homes, Lord, why should the Gentiles, the heathen, say, so where is their God? How wonderful and right it is when our children are raised also in this context, not only of holy conviction of life's purpose, but holy mission in life's journey. We are called to live for God's glory and to help make known His glory in all the earth. Beginning, yes, in our families. We will not all be called to special office of full-time missionary or minister of the gospel. But all of us in our life's calling are to seek and spread God's fame. And we are to promote this as we raise our children. Whatever ways they should go into, that it be for God and the spreading of His fame. I can't help but mention here the words of Psalter 4:25, stanza 2 and 6, which we didn't sing, based on Psalm 105. The testimony of the godly. In joyful song, your hearts uniting, His works most marvelous reciting. Now glory in His holy name. Let those that seek Him spread His fame. Incline their hearts to sing His praise, and unto Him their anthems raise. The Lord is covenant people planted in lands of nations which He granted, that they His statutes might observe, nor from His laws might ever swerve. Let songs of praise to Him ascend, and hallelujahs without end. We need to testify in our homes and to the world. Our God reigns, and He's got the whole world in His hands. Whatever things may seem like, and however people may scoff and discount at that reality. If the Old Testament people of God knew this, how much more should we in our times? And in view of the full gospel of Jesus Christ, as made known in the whole New Testament too, yes, including in Revelation 1, as we learned this morning. Reflecting Psalm 115 in our covenant homes is that your care and prayer too. Each and every one here, especially now as parents of children. Indeed, do we also reflect, going on, the holy perception of verses 4 to 8 of the psalm. The psalmist, in thinking of how the one true God is so often not recognized for who He is, turns around and exposes what all the other gods of man's own making really are like. The idol gods, he brings out, are so lifeless and so useless. And to trust in any idol god of our own making will profit no one anything at all. We need to expose to our children the folly of all the idols of our day. Also the folly of making an idol of other people, as is done so much in the sports field and the entertainment field. We need to expose self-made religion and its emptiness compared to word-based Christianity and its riches. The natural man turns away from the one true God and makes gods of his own imagination. But all the idol gods of our own making can help no one escape sin and Satan and death and hell. They're useless. Only Jehovah God, the triune God of salvation, as made known in the Holy Bible and as revealed in Jesus Christ, is the true and everlasting, effective Savior God. In our covenant homes, do we help our children see through the vanity and emptiness of man's false hopes in the idol gods of our day? Or do you live in a way that you lead your children to look away from the one true God and to get caught up in the hope and the hype of the idol gods of our times? Holy perception in the face of all idolatry. Isn't that what Logan and all our children need to be taught? And how they should be trained? Let us teach our children the glory of the one true God and the folly of all the other gods, the wonders of the Christian religion and the emptiness and hopelessness of all the other religions. In the Bible, you find similar exposure of the idol gods as expressed in our Psalm, verses 4 to 8. You find it also in Psalm 135, verses 15 to 18, and in Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 46. And in Isaiah 46, God tells us in the opening verses there how the idol gods need to be carried and are a burden to the weary beast drawing the wagon full of those idol gods. And then God says about Himself, "But I am the God who carries you, from the womb, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be like? For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me." That's the word of the Lord. My question and challenge is, do you and I teach this to our children? Demonstrating in line with Psalm 115, the holy conviction, the holy mission, and the holy perception it shows to us. As Christian parents, just now having your son baptized, have you not also pledged to raise your son, God helping you, in line also with Psalm 115? Totally so. Indeed, to the utmost of your ability. Yes, also in connection with the next point, in the way of holy exhortation, as found in the verses 9 to 11. The psalmist in these verses, you see with me, exhorts to be sure to trust in the Lord and to follow after Him, for He is our help and shield. O Israel, we read, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Israelites and the priestly family and the people interested in seeking and serving the Lord, also from other nations, all are urged here to trust and follow the Lord God. And three times the reasons to do so is mentioned. Namely, He is their help and their shield. The help and shield of His people. The two terms together speak of God's help for us in all our needs, for body and soul, and His keeping and defense of us in all our dangers that we face in body and soul, in life and death. And it gives such a resounding contrast to the misguided trust of those who follow idols. The point is, God, as revealed in the Bible, is a great Savior God, and the helper of the helpless, and the good shepherd of His sheep, and the keeper of all His people, body and soul, in life and death. The Lord is a refuge strong and sure, and with Him is found eternal salvation for us from all sin and evil, and endless security for us against all that may harm us. God as your help and shield means having God all for you in the most powerful and precious way. Here the quote from Thomas Brooks in the bulletin last week is good to mention. Brooks writes, "God has in Himself all power to defend you, all wisdom to direct you, all mercy to pardon you, all grace to enrich you, all righteousness to clothe you, all goodness to supply you, and all happiness to crown you." As C.A. Spurgeon writes in a similar manner, stating, "The Lord gives a rest which develops into heaven, and He gives it this day to all who come to Him." Well, now this very God has this afternoon personally signed and sealed His promise also in and through Christ Jesus to be the God of Logan Hans Zylstra. The God of our baptism is the God who will be His people's help and shield in all of life. The holy exhortation then is that we and our children trust and follow after this one true God. The call of word and sacrament is that we turn from sin and wholly believe and follow after this Lord, who claims us to be His, and who pledges to us all we need to become His, in and through Christ Jesus. Baptism doesn't save anyone, but it's a constant, visible pledge and guarantee of God of God's way of salvation through Jesus Christ and His goodwill towards us, that we might find our all and all in and through Christ, even as we seek and follow Him. The triune God of our baptism pledges everything anyone ever needs to find the God of salvation and ever to trust and obey Him and live a fruitful life to His praise. Well, this holy exhortation that we find in our song, is it something that's heard in our covenant homes? Something our children are raised under? And that they hear and may know from us that gospel call to turn from the path of sin and self and to trust and follow after the Lord in all their ways? How important and urgent that this holy exhortation be much heard and related in sincerity and in truth in our homes and with our children, even on a daily and weekly basis, or not. Without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please God. Don't let covenant privileges lead to the error of negating this holy exhortation as if it's not really needed. But let it underscore and encourage you in this holy call again and again, this holy exhortation. Oh, trust in the Lord. He is our help and shield. May Logan too be raised in this way, as expressed in Psalm 115. Isn't that your real desire and aim too? So to raise your godly seed under the holy conviction and holy mission and holy perception and holy exhortation of God's word, as brought out also in this psalm, Psalm 115. Going on, working through this psalm, what else should we show and model before our children in raising them in God's ways? What would you say? Well, the verses 12 to 13 show, don't they, holy appreciation for all God's mercies and benefits to us and our children. Holy appreciation. The psalmist confesses in these verses, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Here you see is an acknowledgement of God's goodness and loving kindness towards us and our children, and trusting in Him that He will be true to His promises, and that God cares for all, small and great, even the youngest and weakest in His church and kingdom. All who trust in Him shall not be put to shame. Holy appreciation and thanksgiving for all God's benefits to us in our Christian covenant homes and in our Christian churches and living in this free land. Oh, how humbly thankful we should be all the time. The Lord has been mindful of you and yours. Dear Daniel and Rachel, I'm sure you will agree. Looking back and thinking of the present and the future, is there not so much reason to be filled with holy appreciation to God for all His mercies and loving kindnesses also to you? In our homes, if we are not careful, it's easy to fall into a mode of grumbling and complaining about this and that, even also in connection with church life. But the psalmist here shows us a better way. Be filled with holy appreciation for all that God yet gives us. So much more than so many others in this world can ever dream about. I think about our church privileges, about our education privileges, about our material privileges, about our country privileges. And we are a people so richly blessed above so many others. Let us be sure to show a spirit, a thankful spirit in our homes, and not an ungrateful, grumbling spirit. The psalmist of Psalm 103 states, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." How good when such a thankful spirit is also much in evidence in our homes with our children. Further from this psalm, notice too that this psalmist lived in holy expectation of God's further mercies and loving kindness. Just going through the psalm, the psalmist prays, "May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men." These verses express great hope for the future and also for our children in the Lord's hand and under His blessing. We should raise our covenant children in a positive setting, realizing God pledged His goodwill towards them in and through baptism, and that pleading the promises of God's covenant of grace, as also signed and sealed in holy baptism, we have a great and gracious God of salvation, all for us and with us, who is mighty to save and wonderful to trust and obey. God cares in a special way for believers and their seed. And the psalmist here looks to God to bless His people according to His promises. When the psalmist asks for increase here, let us not think first of all of material increase, but of spiritual increase and the increase of the Christian church in faith and number. The glory of God, remember, and the increase and well-being of His cause and kingdom is the psalmist's main focus. And so it should be for us as well. Sometimes it may be hard for us to live in holy expectation, seeing God's church and kingdom in our day in so much turmoil sometimes, and seeing so much that may seem negative and not so positive in God's church and kingdom. But then let us go back to God's promises and live by faith and not by sight. Also for our children, if in later years they show no interest in the things of God and even turn their backs on God, let us keep being hopeful, pleading the promises and calling on God, triune, to intervene with His saving and sanctifying power through His Word and Spirit for Jesus' sake alone. With the God who made heaven and earth, and the God who gave His Son to be the Savior of sinners, and the God who poured out His Spirit, there is nothing impossible, nothing too hard for Him. Let us be so thankful too for every turning to God, every interest in the truths and ways of God as shown also in the lives of our children. And let us encourage that. Is your home filled with humble, holy expectation in the Lord and His saving purposes and promises as pledged and sealed also in holy baptism? In and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, this is God's promise that no good thing will He withhold from them that trust and follow Him, from them that walk uprightly. This is God's promise. How the Christian baptism of this afternoon should so fill us with holy expectation for the future. Yes, also for our children, even as we seek to raise them in line with the testimony of Psalm 115. This psalm, notice lastly, in the last two verses, also shows what we might call holy dedication in seeking and serving the Lord. Holy dedication. How we need to demonstrate this too in our Christian and covenant homes. The psalmist says, "The dead praise not the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." You hear the holy dedication expressed here? He will make use of the time, the short time given, wholly to live for God and good. It is wholehearted and sincere, as comes out in the words, "from this time forth and forevermore." It's a little bit like Joshua in Joshua 24. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the last two verses bring out the urgency of this matter, for the grave comes soon enough. Nowhere does the Bible suggest, congregation, we should wait in seeking and serving the Lord, or allow ourselves a time of not doing so in our years of youth. No. And let us not raise our children with any such idea that they can be expected to have a time of sowing wild oats, as it were, and that's just to be expected and even to be allowed. No. But let us urge and demonstrate God calls for us wholly to be seeking and serving Him now and always, and the sooner the better, from the days of our youth. He claims us to be His. Oh, when Logan Hans Zylstra is raised in a Christian home, where by God's grace, the holy conviction, holy mission, holy perception, holy exhortation, holy appreciation, and holy expectation, and holy dedication, like as in Psalm 115, is shown and modeled, will that not be so good for him? And may we not pray, God, in His mercy and grace, to bless such to his heart for his spiritual and eternal good. God promises to bless faithful, covenant-keeping homes down through the generations in His mercy and grace. Faithful, covenant Christian homes are the means God often uses for the salvation of sinners and for the increase of His church down through the generations. How much a covenant son or daughter will have to answer for when raised in a home reflecting Psalm 115 in spirit and truth, and yet turning away from God and living in the way of this world and of sin. Are there covenant youth or young adults among us who are living in covenant rebellion and wickedness presently before God? Will you not repent and turn from your evil ways before it's forever too late? God still offers peace and pardon freely for His name's sake. We can mess up our lives so badly, but you go to Him, He'll clean it up. He'll give you a new start. He welcomes you. He calls you to come. Don't persuade yourself it's too late or it's no use. Look to Him. Trust Him. Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. God is the God of salvation, especially uniquely and richly, graciously so for all who come to Him. Will anyone here go on despising and rejecting Him and not turn to Him? What a blessing when raised in a home which reflected Psalm 115 by God's grace, and then yourself by God's grace seeking to have such a home for your children, and then seeing your children aiming for the same with their children. There can be no greater blessing, really. And how humbly thankful we should be when this may be the case, as we can see in your home too, Daniel and Rachel. May God bless you further, that one day you may see the same in the homes of your children, and see them by God's grace raise their children with the same godly conviction and godly mission and godly perception and godly exhortation and godly appreciation and godly expectation and godly dedication as expressed in Psalm 115. What a blessing when Logan Hans too may know and show this same one day by God's mercy and grace. Could you wish him a greater blessing? Reflecting Psalm 115 in our covenant homes, there's no higher calling and greater preoccupation and richer blessing than this. Even so, may God bless Word and Sacrament this afternoon, that what Psalm 115 testifies is what you and I testify in our lives and in our homes. Let us encourage each other in this holy calling and Christian commitment, especially as parents having our covenant children baptized. And be encouraged, knowing, yes, as we sing so often, Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds He will not sever. The word of grace which He commands to 1,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham, He does uphold. Indeed, hallelujah, it is so. For His own name's sake, even so, let us praise the Lord and live and die doing so by God's grace, in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the mediator of the covenant of grace. Amen.